That was not like typical. I spoke on circumcision on Mother's Day. So, just to get even, I'm speaking about the downfall of a family on Father's Day. So, let me tell you how that came to be. Years ago, I decided that I didn't want to come up with a different take on Mother's Day and Father's Day every year and try to spin it a little differently. So I just decided that I would continue in the series, whatever series I happen to be in, and just go on. Now, we don't ignore dads or moms. You know, we show a video and we have some refreshments like that. You can just be thankful that I don't preach on Ahab on Father's Day and Jezebel on Mother's Day. So let's get going in our series for today. We're in a series in Genesis. And where we left off last week was where Lot and his family were fleeing God's judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, heading to Zoar, this town of Zoar, when Lot's wife lingered behind and was caught up in the destruction. So we're going to read the last part of Genesis chapter 19. If you would like to turn there, we have it on the screen as well, Genesis 19. We're going to start in verse 30. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. One day the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father's old, and there's no man around here to give us children, as is the custom of all the earth. Let us get our father to drink wine, and then sleep with him and preserve our family line through our father." That night they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and slept with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. The next day the older daughter said to the younger, "Now, last night I slept with my father. Let us get him to drink wine again, and you go in and sleep with him so we can preserve our family line through our father." So they got their father to drink wine that night, and also the younger daughter went in and slept with him. Again, he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son. She named him Moab. He's the father of the Moabites today. The younger daughter also had a son. She named him Ben-Ammi, and he's the father of the Ammonites today. Well, there's our Father's Day story for you. Now, believe me when I tell you, I don't plan these things. I'm going through Genesis. This is not a plan. But this is what happened here. Lot was a man with wealth and position and a home and a family, and he had everything. And he's lost almost everything, and he's now, what we just read, involved in drunken incest in a cave. Now, everything we read in Scripture is not an example, a positive example. You know that, don't you? That sometimes Scripture gives us negative examples. That's what's going on here. How in the world did Lot end up here? How in the world? Here's my big idea for today. Choose godly over shiny. I've been trying to do this lately to have one theme. And if you don't remember anything, remember that. Choose godly over shiny. And I think as we go along, that'll make more sense. So hang on to that. And we're going to look at the trajectory of Lot's life. So we're going back in Genesis a little bit to see how he ended up here in chapter 19 with drunken incest in a cave. Number one, first point, if you're taking notes, good start. He had a good start. Lot was a young man surrounded by family in Ur of the Chaldeans. And his dad died early, and his uncle Abraham took him under his wing. And then God called the family to leave Ur of the Chaldees. They went the Fertile Crescent from Ur of the Chaldeans up the Euphrates River over to go to Canaan. That was their objective. They stopped at the top of that Fertile Crescent in Haran, and they settled down there for a while. And the dad just stayed there. But then God called Abraham to leave. You got to go to Canaan. That's where I want you. And here's where it says this in Genesis chapter 12. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Lot had to have known about Abraham's call on his life. Why are we going to Canaan again, Abram? Well, that God called me. I mean, he had to have known. He was a part of that. And so they went together. Now, Abraham was a great example for Lot. He's a positive example. A under that, and he's a positive example. Abraham followed God with all of his heart. He wasn't a perfect person. You see that as you read through Genesis. He made mistakes, just like we all made mistakes. But he obeyed God, and he believed God, and he worshiped God. If you read Genesis through the book of Genesis, you see that. So Lot saw his uncle hear from God, follow God, and worship God. He watched that. That was a positive example. Abraham was also a negative example as well for Lot. When a famine hit Canaan, living in the land for a while, a famine hit Canaan, and they decide to go down to Egypt. Now, you know the story, if you've read that before. The Nile Delta really looks good with all that growing around there when the land that you're in is in a famine. And so they decide to go down there. They make it, what's a good idea? Let's go where we can graze herds and where we can get food. He takes Sarah and Lot and go down there. And on the way there, he goes, ooh, there could be some trouble. So he decides to lie about Sarai being his wife. And Lot watches his uncle lie to save his own bacon and get in trouble and head face to face with a very angry Pharaoh, and they barely escape with their lives and their goods. Now, about that, looking at Abraham and the negative example, Abraham was called by God to Canaan, right? Do we agree with that? God called him to Canaan. If God called him to Canaan, would it make sense that God would provide for him in Canaan as well? I think it would. I think it was a matter of making up their own minds to do this rather than really seeking God. Because it was just a decision. Nile was a shiny thing. It was green. It looked great. And let's just go down there. That was a good decision. Abe runs off and lies and escapes. So Lot witnesses the whole thing, both positive and negative, but I believe that Lot watches his uncle and believes. Why do I believe he's a believer? Because Peter comments on this in 2 Peter. He rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Peter sees him as a righteous man. I think that's interesting. My guess is he picked this up when he was hanging around Abraham. He saw his uncle live for God, and he followed in that way. Lot is a mixed bag, though. We know this from Scripture. Just like all of us are mixed bags, no one's perfect. And while he was distressed by the sin around him, like Peter wrote, he also never left Sodom. He never moved from Sodom. Even though he was so distressed by what was going on around him, he stayed there. And I think that's a problem. He decided to go there in the first place, and then he stayed there after he knew exactly what was going on in Sodom. Now, what was the determining factor in Lot's descent? Let's look at that. Point number two is a huge choice. Lot had a huge choice. So Abe and his family, including Lot, are in Egypt. They come back from Egypt, and they come back with more crop, more flocks than ever. And they grow. And after a number of years, they've grown, and they start bumping into one another. And we're going to read about this in Genesis 13. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not support them when they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. So Abram said to Lot, "Oh, let us not have any quarreling between you and me. Between your herders and mine, we're close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, like the shiny place that attracted Abraham away from the land he was called to. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Abraham graciously gives his younger nephew the choice. And I mean, Abraham could have decided. He was the elder. Patriarchal society. You go here, I'll go there. But he graciously lets Lot have the choice as to where he's going to go. I think it's a test. I don't know if Abraham intended it as a test, but I believe it was a test of his character. Because the choices you and I make really reveal what we're like, don't they? Reveal who we are. And this choice revealed who Lot was. Why did Lot choose the Jordan Plain? He's a herdsman. He's got lots of animals. And there's lots of grazing down there among the green plain. It just makes perfect sense. So lush and green. Just like the Nile Delta looked really promising to Abraham a little while earlier. It was shiny compared to the dry brown land up in the upper plateaus where they were living and having their flocks. Lot chose the shiny territory knowing that there was a lot of sinning going on. He knew ahead of time that that's what went on down in Sodom. People talked about it. They knew it. And, you know, that verse there, now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. And with this decision, Lot was taking himself away from the influence of his righteous uncle and putting himself right next to wicked people who were sinning hugely against the Lord. He was taking himself out of the promised land and going to another country that was in trouble. Lot made a financial decision, not a moral decision, not a godly decision. This is all about finances. Sure, he ends up near Sodom. He pitched his tents outside of Sodom, not in Sodom. But when we open up chapter 19, we found out that he's moved right into the center of Sin City in a home. So he's right there. This choice by Lot is the fulcrum of his story. Everything that happens in his life after this time, every negative consequence that comes to Lot is hinged on this choice that he made. Choices can be hugely important, and the ramifications of those choices echo on down and sometimes get larger. Back in 1983, a guy named Lauren Whitehead published an article about the domino chain reaction. Now, not Domino's Pizza, but this kind of domino. You all know what dominoes are. You know, you get a little block like that and you just knock one over, and within seconds, hundreds of dominoes are knocked over. What was significant about this study was that Whitehead found out that if you take one domino is capable of knocking over a domino that's 1.5 times the height of the first domino. So if the first domino is 2 inches, you can topple a 3-inch domino. That 3-inch domino can topple a 4.5-inch domino, and on and on. Listen to this. By the time you get to the 18th domino, you could knock over the Leaning Tower of Pisa. By the 23rd domino, you can knock over the Eiffel Tower. And by the time you get to the 29th domino, you could take down the Empire State Building. Starting with 1 2-inch domino. Lot, choosing to live outside of Sodom, was the first domino. Perhaps moving into Sodom was the second domino. Perhaps once they had kids, decided to remain in Sodom was the third. And it got bigger from there. To the point where his wife is dead and his daughters are planning and executing incest in a cave. There are consequences to that first domino. Lot moving into the wickedness, close to the wickedness of Sodom. What were some of the consequences? Point number 3, if you're taking notes, is this: Lot's consequences. And as we look at his trajectory of his life in Scripture, we see a few of these things here. Number 1, lost in war. You see that in Genesis 14, if you've read that. One group of kings is fighting another group of kings, and the group of kings that is in Sodom and Gomorrah, they lost that battle. And I had to ask the question, why might they have lost that battle? And I know this is making an argument from silence in Scripture, and it's sometimes not the best idea, because you're just thinking this might have happened. But we already know that Sodom and Gomorrah were caught up in all kinds of sexual sin. And I think that sexual sin is all about self and weakness and not about strength and helping others. Not about sacrifice for the sake of others. And that's what happened, I believe, in Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were a weaker group. Lot is identified with the losing side because he lives there and he's taken captive. That's as part of the spoils of war. And he almost lost all of his possessions, all of his family, everything he had, and he was almost a slave for the rest of his life. Except that Abraham came to rescue him. Abraham bailed him out. And he did. He was lost in war. That's a consequence. B, letter B, is this lost major possessions. And we saw that last week in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The total destruction here. Remember, two angels pulled them out of the city. And before the destruction rained down, they fled with the clothes on their backs, perhaps maybe a little cash, but everything else they left behind. Remember, he was a wealthy herdsman with people who worked for him. He had influence. They had a solid house in the city. They had all kinds of flocks out lunching on the lush vegetation around there with men to look over them. Now he's running for the hills with nothing. He almost lost everything. He's got his family with him. Except, letter C, another consequence is he lost his wife. His life partner was gone. She lingered behind. Couldn't stand the fact that those things that she, everything she left behind, clothes, her house, her wealth, the preparation for two weddings, everything that was just gone. Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Now the angel specifically said, don't look back, not because a glance backward was wrong, the wrong thing to do. But don't look back, meaning continue on because you don't have much time. The destruction is coming. Don't look back and linger. And that's exactly what she did. She did not believe God's messengers. And she lingered and she was destroyed because she longed for her old life. She was caught up. She was apparently loved her possessions more than she loved God, or at least she believed God. Jesus could have been talking about Mrs. Lot when he said, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You know, that's just a principle in this short life we all experience. That often if you grab for all the gusto you can, you got to live now, you all have a bucket list, I want to have these things experienced before I die. And that's just the exact opposite of the way we should be thinking. Lose your life in this world and be like Jesus. Don't come to be served, but serve. And give your life as a ransom, just like he did. Because this life is short. But we have eternity to do those bucket list things and to be in bliss. Exact opposite. I don't know if Lot's wife had eternal life, has it or not, I'm not sure, but she lost her physical life because she looked longingly at the Sodom life and her possessions and everything she lost and stayed there and was swept up in the destruction. Lot lost his wife. Another consequence, he lost community, letter D. Lot begged for and was given permission to go to a small town. Remember, the angel said, flee to the hills, go to the hills, get to the mountains. All the destruction is going to happen on the plains. And he, yeah, I can't make it to the mountains, so please just get to this little town. And he was asked for and received permission to go there. And now they can be a part of a community again. Now they have people around them. But the postscript on Lot's life that we read this morning opens up with this. 1930, Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains. Why? He was afraid to stay in Zoar. He was afraid to stay in Zoar. He lost his community through fear. He was afraid, I don't know, maybe he was afraid they could get judged and that would be judged again. Possibly, it's an argument from silence, we don't know. Maybe the townsfolk were scary or sinful, we don't know. But if God was the one through the angels to tell him, yes, you can go to Zoar, why wouldn't he stay there? Because God gave him permission. Yes, you can do that. Why would he be afraid? Fear was driving his life. Fear can make us do a lot of things we should not do. Amen? A couple of years ago, the Collins English Dictionary revealed the word of the year to be permacrisis. You know, every dictionary's got a word of the year. Permacrisis. An extended period of instability and insecurity, especially one resulting from a series of catastrophic events. Now, Lot's life in this snapshot that we looked at last week and this week, actually going back a little bit, could have been described as a permacrisis. I mean, the angels show up unexpectedly, and then the men surround the house, and they're threatening to do this, and the sons-in-law don't listen to him, and they have to run for the hills, and his wife dies, and then Zoar seems nice, but I'm afraid that something's going to happen, so now we got to go to a cave, and then the daughters and all this stuff, and they're pregnant now, and permacrisis. Someone blogged about that word, saying this word embodies the dizzying sense of lurching from one unprecedented event to another, and never stopping to process and heal from that thing. It's just one thing after another. You always wonder what next thing is going to be around the corner. Have you ever felt like that? Could it be that we have been in a permacrisis in the last few years? Depends on your circumstances and how you responded to COVID and everything else, but certainly what happened in COVID set something, a reaction that affected all of us, did it not? Don't let fear run the show like it did with Lot. And he lost his community. Fear can cause us to do crazy things, moving us here and there and making us hesitant, causing us to wear a mask in a car when we're driving alone. We withdraw from others, like Lot did. Lot had a choice between fear and faith. Lot could have said, faith is, look, God gave me permission to stay here. I think this is a safe place we're going to stay. And we got community. But fear drove him out of that place into the hills. So he's now in a cave with his daughters doing weird things. He also lost godly daughters. That's letter C. Excuse me, is that E? Sorry, there. Now, I'm not sure if Lot's daughters were ever godly at all, but it was certainly that they had been influenced by their years in Sodom, right? The girls were so impacted by the examples that they saw in Sodom that they thought nothing of getting their father drunk so they could procreate with him. Incest seemed to them like a good idea. Now, they rationalized it. They said, well, there's no man around here to lay with us. No one. There was no one anywhere. They'd come from Zoar. Were there men in Zoar? Could they have gone back there? Yeah, they could have. They were so desperate to have kids and have some kind of legacy that they made excuses. And they did what anyone in Sodom would have done. Because that's the way they grew up. Those are the examples that they saw. You know that they had some semblance of a conscience. Because they would not have gotten Lot drunk to do this, right? They knew somehow this was wrong because they had to get him drunk to do that. And they knew he was a righteous man who would not approve of that. But they were desperate. They were so desperate they had no faith. They had learned all about sex in the environment in which they were raised. Parents, watch your children's environment. Lot finally got the consequences of a lost legacy, letter F. Lost legacy. Now, Abraham had a good legacy, does he not? I mean, you got Christians and Jews and Muslims that say that Abraham is their father. I mean, and that is Father Abraham. We all talk about Father Abraham. And he's looked back on, you know, with some mistakes, absolutely, but he's a good guy. What is Lot's legacy? He's the father of the Moabites and the Ammonites. These descendants are considered to be among the enemies of God's people. 1 Samuel chapter 14. After Saul assumed rule over Israel, he fought against their enemies on every side. Moab, the Ammonites, Edom, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 23. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even to the tenth generation. For they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt. And they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in Aram Naharaim to pronounce a curse on you. But perhaps the most damning example of this is from Numbers chapter 25. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate the sacrificial meal and bowed down before these gods and did the prerequisite sex that went along with that. So Israel yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. Several generations after Lot, the Moabite people were so steeped in sexual sin and idolatry that they enticed God's people to do the same. And God was angry. The influence of Sodom carries on. This is Lot's legacy. Not just born in a cave in the hills, but born when Lot chose that shiny place over the godly place. When he chose to put himself next to wickedness. When he chose to stay there even after he knew what they did. He chose for financial reasons, and he reaped the consequences of his choice. Yes, like Peter said, he was distressed by the wickedness, but did he ever take his family out of there? Did he ever decide to go back to the hills to get him out of that danger? Did he move? No, he did not. Now, I want to be clear about this. We talk about the consequences of this, and Lot never chose to turn around. He did not repent. He never went backwards. He just continued on this descent, that trajectory. But if anyone here is kind of feeling down on themselves because they made a choice, a fulcrum-type choice that headed you in the wrong direction, do not think that you are destined to be like Lot and his family and head down that way. You can always change. You can stop right now. Whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is that's in the way between you and God, you can say no and turn around, just like I believe Lot could have. And that's what repentance is, saying, I can't do this anymore, and turn back toward God. That's always an option for us as long as we're still above ground. We can say, God, we turn back to you, and he'll listen because he's a good God. What's our big idea again? Choose godly over shiny. What shiny thing tempts you away from the living God? What possessions cause you to look back longingly at those things and keep you from where God wants you to be? What unrighteous relationship pulls you away from God's best? We all have choices every day. We got dozens of choices, whether or not we'll follow God in what we do in business and life and family and driving and everything. And you and I will be tempted. There's no doubt about that. We will be tempted from what God is calling us to by shiny things all around us. And if we choose the shiny things, that could be the fulcrum that points us in the same direction as Lot's consequences. Maybe you're deciding if a physical relationship with somebody else to whom you're not married is a good thing, and that lush vegetation looks good from a distance, but it will come back to bite you. Maybe you decide in your job whether you're going to bend the rules about taxes or cheat a customer again. Maybe you're deciding whether you should hang out with these people who would take you away, further away from what God wants, or people that bring you closer to what God wants. Perhaps you think, just indulge in a little bit of pornography. What can it help? What's pornography? I mean, I'm all by myself. Pornography surely can't hurt. But when you decide you want to be with somebody who's physical, that's going to get in the way, especially in your marriage. I mean, all of these things, a little sex here, a little illicit money there, a little cheating, hanging out with an immoral friend, oftentimes looks fantastic from a distance. It looks shiny. But you find out that it's not as satisfying as you thought. And when you stay in that green valley for a while, you look back over your shoulder at what God wants less and less. You tend to forget about it, and you compromise a little here, you compromise a little there, and before you know it, you're doing things now that you would have appalled you 5 years ago. That's the story of Lot. and your choices, your consequences affect you and especially your family. Remember, this last January, we had an incident in the air. Passengers on Alaska Airlines 1282, they were going from Portland, Oregon to Ontario, California. They're scared big time. One passenger said, "We literally thought we were going to die." And the bolts that were needed to secure a part of that jet blew off in midair. Apparently, they were missing from the factory and hold that piece of the plane on. Passengers said they heard a pop and then a big bang, and air loudly whooshed out of the side of the airplane. They were at 16,000 feet when this happened. And this blew a hole in the plane in emergency exit size. I think we have if you can imagine sitting in that row, and all of a sudden that is gone. They lost out of a cell phone, a teddy bear, and a passenger's shirt were sucked out of that hole. Oxygen masks were dropped from overhead. Now, those of you who fly, can you imagine being in a plane like that? So either someone forgot to mark where the plugs went, the bolts in those certain plugs, or they forgot to put them in at the factory. The consequences of those decisions could have been disastrous. Fortunately, all 171 passengers and then the crew made it back safely to Portland. Lot is our biblical example of something like this. The consequences were disastrous, worse than the Alaska air flight. He forgot to consult with God about where to live. He forgot to make the right choice. Those bolts were forgotten, and the consequences were worse. His wife died. His daughters went south. So when Lot first decided to camp on the outskirts of Sodom, and after a while he moved right into town, he was right in the middle of all that wickedness. These angelic messengers had to pull them out physically by the hand and take them out. That's how hesitant they were to believe God's messengers and leave. They had to physically drag them out. Why were they so hesitant? They were so caught up in that atmosphere of Sodom and everything that they had. That's how comfortable they had become in Sin City. What comfortable thing are you doing now that has no place in God's economy? I know you're mostly good people. We all make mistakes. But there could be someone here that has made a decision to do this or that is taking you away from God. What are you a little too close to that you shouldn't be close to? Lot got too close to Sodom. And he went from having his tent on the outside of the area to setting up the tents nearby, to moving into the center of town, to seeing nothing wrong with offering his daughters for gang rape, to consenting to drunkenness two nights in a row, so much so that he had no idea what happened after he got that drunk. His legacy became a thorn in Israel's side. It's the trajectory of those who choose the shiny things over the godly things. Choose God. You know that. I'm just reminding you. You're reminding me too. Choose God. Choose godly over shiny. Choose His ways with sex and friends and job decisions and where you live and honesty and mercy and forgiveness and unity. Choose God's ways. Choose God even when His ways look a little drier, a little more brown than the shiny things you see down in the valley. That proverbial greener grass is so tempting. God's ways are ultimately more secure and safe. And from that position of security we have as we follow God, we will be able to help other people rather than needing rescue like Lot did from Abraham twice. Your legacy will be more like Abraham's and less like Lot's. Isn't that what you want for your family, for your kids? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for even negative examples in Scripture. Thank you, Lord, that warnings you give to us like this. Lord, we ask for grace and help, filling of your Holy Spirit, that we can live like you want us to live and choose godly over shiny. Fill us, Lord. We need your help. We are weak people, but you are a good God, and you are a strong God, and you will help us. Thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.